Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, Jim Hotep, greetings to Barigani, what's up? And to those newcomers out there, what's happening? Old friends, how you doing this evening? Thank you for tuning in this evening and calling in for the next segment. Our 14th segment this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking to the neophytes for neophyte training on the central cosmic principle in the Ifa faith and tradition. We have a live audience for you this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be having a discussion talking about why is it that so many African-American males are turned off about entering into the cloth, such as being a priest or being involved in the cloth in the church, deacons, priests as well. And why are they turned off? And what are some of the things that we can do as ministers and clergy to make it a difference for these young men to get involved? We'll also be talking about Islam and Christianity. What are some of the known facts that have been somewhat biased in the Islamic faith that turn Christians off? What are some of the biased things that have turned Christians off about Christianity? And why they feel that we are desecrating ourselves because we have not acknowledged our own ancestors when we turn our faces over to Africa and over into the motherland, Akabia land, and Ile Ife. So we're going to start the show off and give you our rendition of the ritual. And I'd like to start off immediately with a prayer. And I'm going to ask permission from my elders to speak. And one, upon getting permission, we're going to go straight into the show, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready for your questions and answers and get ready to call in. Elder, do I have permission to speak this evening?
By all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you so very much, Elder. Now, we're going to get right into doing the libation. I'm going to get cleaned up, and I'm going to ask Baba if he'll please come in and give me a purification. Baba, can you purify me, please?
Yes, I can.
As we get the water ready for purification, I'm going to go to station identification, ladies and gentlemen, and it is the power of faith that keeps us all together. Once again, thank you for joining us. And for those of you who would like to participate in our question and answers, you can call in at 646-478-0270. All right, the power of faith, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. And we do acknowledge you and do love the fact that you're supporting us. Keep on supporting us.
From the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in our hearts when it seems that our lives are falling apart?
Priscilla, go ahead so we can do this. Yes, it's the blood of the Lamb and our ancestors, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank you so much for joining us during this segment. And as I proceed on with the libation, I'm going to ask Father if he'll please purify me. Can you purify me, please, Father?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Is the purification complete?
Purification is complete.
Thank you so much, and I will begin to have you a little while on the hand. Purification is complete, ladies and gentlemen. Now you are standing on holy ground. I know you know that, and I'd like to tell you again to get out those names of your ancestors and stand to your feet. You are now standing on holy ground. And pouring libation to the east and the west, north and south, you purify your area. Spirit that comes from the beginning of this world, spirit that comes from the east, spirit that comes from the west, spirit that comes from the north, spirit that comes from the south, spirit that comes from the celestial world, spirit that comes from the cosmic world, spirit that comes from the planet Earth, spirit that comes from the holy city, Ile Ife, spirit that comes from the ocean, spirit that comes from the rivers, spirit that comes from the streams and brooks. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. Homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. Homage to the 400 spirits on the right side, Lord of the legend. Homage to the 200 spirits on the left side, Lord of light. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. And homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. The Holy Diviner, NGB, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. Homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. Diviner on the right side, I praise you. Diviner on the left side, I praise you. Diviner on the east side, I praise you. Diviner on the west side, I praise you. Diviner on the north side, I praise you. And Diviner on the south side, I praise you. Juba, as you be. Ladies and gentlemen, you can recite your own prayer at this moment if you like. And a prayer from the heart is efficient. As I do a prayer for the family, I say, in the name of the mighty, almighty, Oladulma Ray, we bow our heads and we ask Oladulama Ray to acknowledge every household present here today in this arena and this suffering market down here on earth. Help us to prevail over the process and getting through while we live and be held captive in these bodies. Help us to elevate to the spirit level, going from the 12th or the 10th level all the way up to zero. To the zero of a spiritual realm. As we magnify you and manifest ourselves to look like you, help us to press your presence forward. By pressing you and by going through experiences, we can press through and show up with the Spirit of God in us, and we become more spiritual. Help us to speak to the young people so that they are drawn by the Spirit. Help us to talk to the young black men and draw them into priesthood. Help us to find the reason why they are not drawn to our religion. They're not drawn to our churches. They're not drawn to our rituals and process. Help us to know what we need to give them to pass down the lineage, to give them our ashe. Help us to desire the right hand of Ephah, having the ability to have divination experience, having all knowledge and knowing all as a seer. Help those young men that dream dreams to come to us and ask for the Oshe, and let the elders pass on their rods and their sticks and give them the Leke Ekins and help them to do the divination. It is now time for young people to rise up and be called neophytes and priests. It is now time for the elders to pass down the baton. We pass down the baton to each and every household that's represented here with a young black male in the house that must carry the staff, and must stand up like Moses. And as he raises his hands up, he gives the people hope. Help each and every one of these young Moses to come forward and be drawn to the lessons of Nephite, and help them to pose questions today to ask, how and what must I do to be saved? And let us articulate the proper understanding and nomenclature of what it is to be saved, and how we have not been saved from anything, but down here in the suffering market, we must continue to stress and push ourselves and go forward. And as we press against the prick, we will help the Spirit to show up in us, and we become more and more like God. Ye are God's little children, and ye have overcome them. May God add a blessing to the reading of the word, and may the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O my Lord, in thy sight. We say amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now that I've been purified and said the prayer, you are standing on holy ground. And I do that every day, but you must really believe it. Now let's call on our heroes and sheroes. I'm going to call on a few of them for the benefit of time. I won't go into all of them. I like to call on Benjamin Banneker. I say Ashe. I call on Madam C.J. Walker. I say Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We like to call on Dr. Martin Luther King. Ashe. We call on Rosa Parks. Ashe.
Ashe.
We call on Malcolm X. Ashe.
Ashe.
We call on Zora Neale Hurston.
Ashe.
Now, that's just a few of your ancestors, ladies and gentlemen, but if you'd like to continue to go on, that is fine. It is now time to call on your personal ancestors, your loved ones that have gone on before you, mothers and fathers, and all of your family relatives. Summon them so that you can tap into their energies and their sixth and ninth ether, which prevalently is the ninth ether. That energy vibrates of melanin. You can tap into that, ladies and gentlemen, at this very moment. Now is the time to generate the energy so that we can build our nation on the energy that they've left behind. Energy cannot die, nor can it be recreated. It cannot even be dissipated, but it can be tapped into. Let's tap into that energy today. All the families that are present here today, tap into the melanin energy, which will continue to vibrate. Now, I'd like for you to remember that you can keep a list of your family members on your altar. I call on the name of Robert Jenkins. I say, Ashe. I call on Clara Mae Jenkins. Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey. Ashe. Essie Lee Pope. Ashe. Eugene Lilly. Ashe. I call on the name of Mary Lou Hawkins. Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins. Ashe. Marvin Eugene Jenkins. Ashe. Clifford Bracken. Ashe. Ruby Lee Bracken. Ashe. Isa Lilly. Ashe. Nisho Lilly. Ashe. Bessie Lilly. Ashe. Tom Harvey. Ashe. Michael Harvey. Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins. Ashe. Michael Harvey. Ashe. And I'd like to ask my listening audience, do they have any other family members on the side of the Harveys that they would like to include names?
Julie Harvey, Ashe.
Ashe.
Jimmy Harvey, Ashe.
Ashe.
Harry Harvey, Ashe.
Ashe.
Lieutenant Papa Peter Harvey. Ashe.
Ashe. So be it, so let it be done unto you and your households. Ladies and gentlemen, as we speed up the process of the show, I'd like to give those call numbers out again. And if you are involved right now, please put everything down and please come and join us here in the Read Room. We are now about to embark on the conversation on our 15th segment, The Central Cosmic Principles in the Ifa Faith and Tradition. And we're also going to include Cosmic of the World to give you a definition. Our number, once again, is 646-478-0270. Very good. And we go on to give you the pledge, and we're going to go right into the segment right after the pledge. We're going to have the pledge by Terrell Garth.
Allegiance of the flag of the UNIA. Here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hopes its future bright Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall show of it. In time to come, red blood the flow of it. Historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depends on it, the red, black, and green of it, O flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young men shall dream of it, face shot in shells of it, maidens shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors broad and full of it, pleased is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Thanks to God for giving it, great flag of mine.
Thank you very much for that greeting, Terrell Garth. And as you know, we do have a family plan and a commission. And I would like for you to get out your own commissions on the family pledge and read those. But right now, for the sake of time, we're going to go right into our segment. Now, I pose the question, ladies and gentlemen. What does the term cosmic mean? And is there anything here on this earth that represents cosmic or microcosmic? And I'm going to ask one of our speakers this evening that question, but I'd like to introduce our two co-hosts that will be with us this evening. I have Jamel Harvey and Terrell Garth, a youth and an elder, who will be discussing the discussion and topic of what is cosmic and why have not so many African-American men decided to be a part of the cloth, whether it be Islamic, Christianity, and why have they not desire to play a role in the church, and what is keeping them from doing that? And I'd like to ask the question to Jamel. Jamel, what is cosmic, and what do we mean by cosmic? Give me a definition, and as broad as you can. However, I'm going to come back and give you the cosmic viewpoint from Ifa, but give me the cosmic viewpoint for the world.
Well, you have to first look at the word cosmic. You're talking about cause and effect. Because in the cosmos, you're dealing with the cause of the vibrations of the universe, the cosmic movement of the planets that have an effect on Earth and on men and women on the planet. So you're dealing, when you say cosmos, you're dealing with the cause of the micro and macrocosmic on a planetary body. So it's cause and effect, cosmos.
Very good, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or something to add to that, you're welcome to call in and pose your questions or comments. I'd like to say that Ifa does have a definition for the cosmic principles in the Ifa faith. As you know, African Americans, the story of Ifa starts out in Ile Ife, in the garden. Starts off in the garden. I like to say that in the Ile Ife story, the first person that was brought here to earth was the chicken. Make no mistake about it, you don't have to determine which came first, the egg or the chicken. In the Ifa philosophy and the cosmic belief, the chicken came first. He was asked to come here along with the calabash. And when he came here, he had to determine if the ground was firm enough so the human beings could walk on it. And he came here with a calabash full of sand. When he got here, he discovered that the primordial earth, which is what's above, is below. whatsoever is above is below. So above had to be water, because when he got here to earth, below was water. He began to firmly sprinkle the sand all over the primordial earth that was water, and he made it become firm so that we could be able to come here with the deities and develop. Now, as I said, whatsoever is above is below. God's whole creation, he intended for the earth to look like what was above. And in replicating that, he gave the earth deities. And Ipah believed in deification, showing that they cannot show you in full totality who the Almighty, ratified, energized God is through just giving you a statement. They have to also express it through designing deities that look like God. That's why you have Obatala, Shango, Alegba, Ishun, better known as the Trickster, as well as Yaminja, Shango. They all represent an expression of who God is. So if you look at those deities and say, they can't be expressions of God, they are. God is all-knowing, all-potent, all-ratified, and you could not look up on him if you wanted to because of his electrifying rays. Therefore, as I told you, their whole primordial state and cosmic state is that there's a hierarchy, and you can't go skipping into glory raising up your hand to call on the God of the inner core or the God of the creation. He does not work that way, ladies and gentlemen. Their cosmic belief is that you are assigned your own personal God, and you work with your Ori as if he is your God, pressing him forward because you and him share like entities in this body that you are housed in. So some days you may look like a God, and some days you may look like a human, because God resides within your primordial body. Being, again, whatsoever is above is below. The macrocosmic, the macro and the microcosmic. The macro being the smaller version of what it looks like for the cosmic. Now, Ipah has a lot of different belief systems. As you know, the divination is one, and the OB, because you must make sacrifices for whatever you ask of Orisha. Whatever you ask, you must make a sacrifice in OB. That is why you've heard so much about the Ifa people believe in sacrifice. A sacrifice can be a simple thing as fixing a plate of food or sacrificing a cup of snails. Not human sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't get it twisted. It's very important that you satisfy the 400 plus on your right-hand side, being good, and your 200 plus on your left-hand side, being evil. Now, I'd like to go on with this segment of the show by inviting our two speakers in. I'd like to introduce them once again. Jamel Harvey, are you still out there? Very good. Okay, so the listening audience can hear you. Jamel Harvey, are you still out there?
Yes, I am. Proud, and thank
welcome,
you for inviting
Jamel
me.
Welcome, Jamel Harvey.
Thank you.
And the topic of our show is, why are so many African-American males not interested in transitioning into a spiritual position in the church, whether it be in Islam or Christianity? And we discussed a little bit about the macrocosmic and the microcosmic, but you can also insert as you go on about the topic. Then we also have the young man here, Terrell Garth. He will also be discussing with Jamel Harvey. Terrell Garth, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you two young men who will be discussing the problem of the church. What's the matter with the church? The problem of Islam. What's the matter with Islam? What about Christianity? And why are so many African-American men running and bolting the door down to get in, to be a part of the strategic plan of the fivefold ministry? There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, that's a very, very, very
very good question. And one has to look at the reason why you do not have an influx of young African-American young males or young black males is real simple. The church or religion, let me look at religion. The time period for religion is playing out. Religion cannot prove itself. Therefore, the economic conditions of young black men is asking for society to prove that you really care for me. Is everything all about dollars? So dollars, in a sense, are very real to young men, and religion is not real. Religion comes about as stories based on the hard facts of everyday life. Young people need to have substance. They need to have something they can feel, something that is real, something that makes a difference in their life. They are not going off of Jesus is going to come down or God is going to do this. They want to see it. They have to feel it and they have to see it. And this is one of the central things as to the reason that religion is losing its grip on the youth of today and all across the world. Because there's a new energy sweeping the planet, and religion cannot answer the questions of the new energy that is sweeping the planet, which, by the way, comes from the cosmos. So in the cosmos, you have cause and effect. So if you look at, just look at astrology. In astrology, which emanates from the movement of planets, and the planets are in the cosmos, again, cause and effect. So if the moon has an effect on human beings, that means that that basically is a part of nature, and it proves what I'm saying. So, you know, we want to look at an ontology type of way of explaining what we're going to do today. And ontology is no more than the study and the science of reality and proven with facts, okay? So when you talk about the cosmic and the things that are happening in the cosmos are planetary movements. The astrologers have also proven that in different ages and different times, certain periods go out. Like we're leaving one cycle and we're entering into another cycle, which causes an effect on the minds and the psyche of the people on this planet. So people are seeing planetary changes all around. So the thing that happened is your belief system that are not proven through nature gets swept away with the changing of the cycles. This is part of cause and effect, again, defining the cosmos, okay? I believe we have a question from Mr. Garth.
Yes. Is the Arabic language more sacred than the Kikongo?
Is the Arabic language more sacred than the what?
Kikongo?
Well, the Arabic language, is it more powerful than Kikongo? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, I am.
What is Kikongo? Where does that Kikongo emanates from Africa? Okay, so now you have to look at the time period that Kikongo came about, right? What tribe, what part of Africa? Okay, because if you look at it really, really, really close, now just think about this. I'm gonna jump over that for a minute just to get back to that. If you talk about Obata law, okay, and you when you hear the word Obata law, you think about Allah. Now, if you look at the date of the time period between when Islam religion proper got its birth and the time that Ifa received its birth, then did Ifa get Obatala from Allah in Mecca when they were worshiping the statues and the idols? So before Islam came about, you had Ifa in Arabia. So the Muslims and Ifa have a connection. One came out of the other, and the other came out of the other. Or else, how do you have Obatallah and you have Allah on the African continent? You see, they're cousins to each other. So you have to look at the date and the time. If Islam proper, the religion, is 1,500 years ago, then what is the date of Ifa? If Ifa is older, it means that Ifa birthed Islam, which means that Christianity gave impetus to Islam proper and religion. That's a lot, but we can dissect that. We can go through that.
Very good, very good. There's conversation going here. Do you have any other questions on that?
than is the Arabic language more sacred than the Dohamine?
Would you repeat that again?
Is the Arabic language more sacred than the Dohamine?
Well, you have to look at the birth. You have to go back all the way to the birth. Dohamine dates back older than Islam. So Dohamine gave birth to Arabia. It's all in the birth. Like, for instance, the Arabic language versus the Syriac Hebrew language, or versus Ugaritic or Akkadian language or cuneiform. Those languages have a date, and in those dates you find some factual truth.
Excellent response. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you listen to me. If you have any questions and would like to pose questions to each of you, please do so. Can we go on, please, Andre?
What makes Mecca a holy city?
What makes Mecca a holy city are people and systems. Arabia and Mecca has been around for a time since man have walked the African continent. What makes it holy is that people make it holy because of their interchanges and because of the trade routes. Mecca was a trading spot, one of the greatest trading spots on the planet. So when the religion took hold, then the religions made them a holy place because it was an old place with old ideas with new religion. So the people made it holy based on the fact that it was already there. There was nothing unique about it. It's just that the religion did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Religion is playing a great part here, I see. I can't wait till we get to the segment on Christianity. Well, would you care to go on?
What does it mean to say that Muhammad is the last and the most important prophet?
It means that in the eyes of the Muslim parishioner, that there will be no other prophet to come because the religion of Al-Islam makes that statement. Okay, but when you look at what happened with the Balai, the people of the Baha'i faith, they claim that Baha'i was the next prophet after Muhammad. Therein you would have religious conflicts and wars. So again, the petitioners of Islam, right, be they Sunni, be they Ahmadiyya, whoever was in the holy city, whoever put the Quran in order, whoever wrote the Hadith, sealed it up and said there will be no more prophets. Now, men did that, unless you can have other proof that's come from the cosmos.
I think we do have proof, Mel. We do have an African prophet, Olola, that few people know about, and that's what this whole teaching is about, how to acknowledge Olola and how to pay homage to him, and for African Americans to accept them as their personal prophets. I'd like to go on with the discussion. And ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome to join us. We have before us in the audience live today to Ralph Garth and Vanessa Harvey posing the question, why is it so difficult for African-American males to pick up the cloth or the desire to be a part of the fivefold ministry, becoming priests, deacons, or prophets, or seers? And we also would like to say in dreamers. Okay?
May I comment on that? One outstanding answer that you can look at based on that particular statement and question, Omeika, is simply this. Where do the young black male see the power in those organizations for him or her? Where is the power in being a priest? Where is the money being made in being a priest or being in any religious organization?
I think this young man in the audience could comment on that. Can you comment on that, please?
Well, the money is being made through the congregation. All the people that are tithing and donations, either whether it's building funds, to whether it's just their daily routine donations of offering, and they deal from there.
Yeah.
Well, the young people towards that, our shield is growing up from a kid to an adult, all they've known is what they've been taught from a young age. But they say, Mom, we're going to church this Sunday, and he'd be like, why? Because it's tradition to do so. And so either then they're either going through the motions and not realizing what any type of religion will have an impact on their life until they actually get of that age to understand the trials and tribulations that they experience through life and growing up as an African male.
Well, I have a question. What about the programs? Were you able to find any programs in the church that drew you in? And if so, what were those programs, and what would you recommend that we need to have in order to draw more black men into the church?
Well, the programs I think would probably be more outreach programs, because a person wants to feel part of something, and no one wants to feel left out, especially if it's in an organization where they say love one another as they love themselves. And I guess different kind of organizations would be the things that they're interested in, whether it be they want to express their talents through singing or even as far as even Greek people or also maybe even using their educational skills. It's just all up to the organization of the church or what they have to offer. Each different religion is different.
Well, on that note, Terrell, what do you think they need to offer, and what have you taken advantage of in the church, and were there any things that would lead to a permanent job? Because the church is supposed to be the storehouse. It says bring your tithes into the storehouse so there will be meat for everyone. Has there been meat for you? Have they met your needs?
Well, I really can't really answer that, because everybody has their personal walk with religion and serving God. So, I mean, mostly, what people need, I wouldn't look for a full employment through a church organization anyway. I mean, if you're either doing it for two different reasons, doing it to serve God, or you're doing it for self-gain, and that's a conflict of interest.
Excellent point, Terrell, excellent point. But once again, we no longer collecting taxes from the church. We're paying our taxes on a regular basis. So therefore, in collecting these funds and stockpiling them, would you say that we have turned into a hoarding society? Because we see so many donations being collected throughout the period of the church session, and one would wonder which one of those would be going for funds to build communities or build programs in the neighborhood, to build up our neighborhood. However, we still see the church being fat and rich, and gaining all this fun, and they may be serving a few people, but not the whole community, because we no longer can define what a community is. That is debatable, and I know that is for another discussion, and we'd like to go on with the question and answer session of the show. And we'd like to thank both of these young men, Jamel Harvey, as well as Terrell Garth, for being a part of the show, and we'd like to continue on. You're welcome to call in, ladies and gentlemen. Please do call in and pose your questions.
Okay. Do you know of any Sunni Muslims who do not have an Arabic name?
Yes. You would find Sunni Muslims who are new to the faith of Al-Islam that have not maybe gone through a naming ceremony, or that may have not taken a name. Or you may find some Muslims, Sunni, who live in America that will not take a name, because of the economical, political ramifications. Some feel that way. So they would rather live their faith, be their expression of what Islam is about without having to wear a tag on them, right? So let's say if you work for a major corporation, but yet you accepted Islam. Now, if you are strong in that corporation, then you could come out with, I'm a Muslim now, I've taken Shahada. If you're not, then you will continue to be John Willie, doing your job, enjoying your paycheck, and taking care of your family, and going to your services the way you have to, so you don't have the outward expression of your belief.
Jamel, how would you say that connects to our cosmic belief, and how would that actually pertain to cosmic beliefs in any way.
It really doesn't, but what it does is showcase what I've said, that the cause and effect, that is that the changing of cycles, the cosmic change of cycles and the planetary change of cycles is affecting religion proper and all the aspirants or all the people that follow religion, no matter what it may be. Religion in so many years henceforth will play itself out because it came in under a cycle and it will go out in a cycle.
Jamel mentioned cycles and talked a little bit about we are, I understand, Jamel, we are in the, which cycle would you say we're in?
The Aquarian cycle.
The Aquarian cycle,
and we're leaving moon cycle into sun cycle.
Now, what exactly happens in the Aquarian cycle, Jamel?
Well, what you would call, just for lack of a better word, deeper thought. More concentrated thought in terms of who, where, and what you are, more unity and love towards who you are. The attribute of Uranus has to be studied in order to get the full answer to that question, and to look at what sun cycle and moon cycle is all about. That's another show.
Okay, and would you also say that because of we're going into the year of 2012, but they're talking about the world coming to an end as we know it. Is this when the age of Aquarius will be setting in?
No, that is some economical, political scare tactics. In my knowledge and what I have examined, there will be no physical end to this world in 2012. The calendars are off, and it's like Y2K.
Okay. Now, I know... necessarily mean physical, but I've been told that a spiritual realm will take place, such as you mentioned, a more deeper thought, a more visible understanding of spirit and what things are spiritualist and how we'll have to engage in those things.
Well, this is what I know, and NASA knows this as well. Hubble telescope knows this. There is a light form of energy that is headed toward this planet. They think it's a meteor. They are afraid. That's why you have a lot of underground constructions going on. But what's going to happen, there will be a new energy wave that will hit the planet, thus changing the vibrational frequency of everything on the planet. This is part of the cycle change as well. They have plotted this. Geologists have seen this. Archaeologists have plotted this as well. So the scientific fact is that there's a change that happens on this planet every 25,000 years. That is a scientific fact. Okay, they have seen the evidence because there's dark matter and there's an energy source that's headed in this direction, and they don't know what it is.
And Jim, we're going to have you come back again to expound upon that in depth and in the future. One of the things I was going to ask you about the vibrational change. I know that for the longest they talked about a war taking place of the religion wars. We discussed, you and I, Jim, about the gang wars that might transition instead of the spiritual wars. What can you tell Terrell about what you perceive or prophesy that will happen in the form of gangs that might enter into this segment?
Well, if you look at society, and you look at what is happening to the black community, and you look at what's happening to the world overall, the economic breakdown and the manufacturing breakdown in America is causing lawlessness in certain urban cities. You have food deserts, okay? You have food deserts in urban cities. What is that? That means lack of grocery stores, lack of African Americans in the inner city being able to get decent hospitalization, police force, places like Gary, Indiana, places like Newark, places like East St. Louis. You're going to have gangs take over these places, and it's going to be the gangs against the government and the gangs against the police force.
Very, very profound now. Okay, we've got to go on, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome to call in. Thank you so very much for
surveying the Kiribati show. If African people had to give up their names, their languages, their creativeness, their religion, what effect would this have to do with a presentation of their culture?
Well, that has already occurred. The question that you just stated has already occurred. Okay, you can see that. We came over here in 1619 as slaves, okay? We had our indigenous name, but what most don't know is that black people were already here prior to the year one. They got here through the Canary Currents and Guinea Currents, but the Europeans discovered them here. So what has happened is we have lost our identity due to slavery and indoctrination of slavery.
Thank you so much.
And we'll
be right along, ladies and gentlemen. Terrell, you have more questions?
How would 100 million Africans adopt Arabic names and turning toward Mecca 5 times a day, touching their foreheads to the earth, affect the preservation of Arabic culture?
Because that, again, was a cycle and a time for that to happen. It was an expression of giving the Eurocentric culture its boot in the face, if you will. A lot of African Americans or black people found power, found respect, found culture in Islam, Sunni Islam, the Nation of Islam, anything but Eurocentric Christianity, which comes from the Pauline theory of Christianity and not the Afrocentric Christianity. It's a reconnection back to who and what we are.
Thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a fantastic time in here chatting with Jamel Harvey and Terrell Garth, talking about the cosmic, ladies and gentlemen, and the cosmic of Ephah. What is happening to the temperament, the changes in the universe, and what is to come, ladies and gentlemen? Are you a seer? Can you see into the future? Is there writing on the wall? And whose report will you believe? As we go on, ladies and gentlemen, we have other questions that Terrell was going to pose for Jamel. Stay tuned.
Name one thing that African people learned about the supreme being of Islam or Christianity that they did already know.
That there's power in the word Allah. Allah. Every baby that comes into the world utters the word ah. Everyone utters the sound ah, ah, ah.
What you're saying is that ah. Hello?
Is
it way of a life for us?
When an African becomes a mother, what culture does he or she project? African culture or Arabic culture?
Because of the geopolitical movement going on now in Africa, whoever has the strongest economic program is the way the African will go right now. But if the Christian missionaries get to an African country first and they're bringing food aid, their jobs, if the World Bank is giving that African country loans and credits to develop their country, then they will go with Christianity. If the Islamic regime is coming into that country and they beat the Christian regime in, then they can get aid and they can get promise of development through oil blocks and oil grants. So it's all an economic game.
What role does any Islam play in terrorism?
It wasn't Islam. It was the people calling themselves Muslims, because you have agreeable and disagreeable people in all walks of faith. You can't blame any negative on Islam. You have to look at the people that say who and what they are.
Thank you so much for that answer, Jamel. We have talked about Islam. Now we're going to change our gears and go on to some questions from Christianity. When you've got your own means of seven in the house, the advocate you need and the advisor you want. Ladies and gentlemen, please do call in with your questions and answers. We're going to continue. Jamel, in what way is Christianity the deification of someone's nationalism?
The deification of someone's nationalism starts with the government of that country allowing the Christian tent to be the law of the land of that country. For instance, America, they say this is a Judeo-Christian country, but yet we are brothers and sisters keeper. do we do unto others as we have them do unto you? You don't see the basic tenets of Christianity practiced in America the way it is in the church. So they divided church and state. All right? So how are we to even have that? Those are things spoken and hoped for, but the evidence of it being seen is really not there. Case in point, look at the criminal justice system. Why are young black males used as pawns for a stock market on the prisons and using young black African males as the piece that gets the stock market going for those prisons that are on the stock market?
Very good statement, Janelle. I'm going to pose a couple of statements now. This is relevant to Christianity. The revelation of the Christian God was revealed in the Hebrew language. And the most sacred sign in Christian is Islam. The Hebrews, the holy city. The highest and the greatest persona in Christianity is a Hebrew prophet, performing the master who is known as Jesus, upon whom we peace and have, upon whom peace and blessing is upon him, who was founded for the Hebrews. Now, the question is, all African Christians adopt European names, Christianity, and teaches that all deities conceived by the Africans are false, or that they are demons. Since from the Christian, they are led to believe they're false. Now, in my concept, Christians have to understand that African religion is not false, even though it has not been included in the nine Christian faiths or in the nine Christian faiths. It is not a false religion. It is a traditional religion that has been around since the beginning of time. Now, I have some questions I'd like to pose to Jamil about Christianity. The Christian reveals scripture by saying that the Hebrews are the Christians God chose for the people. Why would a Bible read that the Hebrews are the Christians and not the Africans?
Well, first, let's look at the word Hebrew. The word Hebrew is basically he who crossed over. When Abraham crossed over a river, the people on the other side said, that's Abram, right? And they called him the Hebrew, meaning he crossed over. That's simply what that means. Now, people have taken that and made a culture out of it and made a religion out of it. That is the crux of that whole situation. So if you look at it from that perspective, then you have to look at it from the next perspective, economic, political.
Thank you so very much. And ladies and gentlemen, these are just questions on the they're rhetorical and they don't need to be answered. And we've talked about them before. What positive factors did Christianity bring to African people in terms of enhancing their love and African culture? I'm posing that to you today, ladies and gentlemen, for you to ponder over. What negative factors did Christianity contribute to Africans hating African culture? And name one thing that African people learned about the Supreme Being from Christianity that they did not already know. What is pagan? What is fetish? What is trickster? What is juju? And what is idolatry worshiper? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the cosmic and the universe and what African religion believes in the cosmic. Africans believe in Nomo. They believe in the doggone people who sit up on the wall and watch for over 65,000 years for God to return. They also discovered the Sirius stars B and A. They're God of microscope, I might add. Now, in looking at the cosmos, where does the Africans fit in the cosmos? Were they the scheme of things? Did they help develop science? Did they bring scientific things into being, such as the Sirius star B that our children are now learning about in the classroom? I want to pose that question to Jamil before we leave. What about the doggone people, Jamil?
The doggone people basically come from an extraterrestrial lineage is not spoken of much because they really don't want that out. There are scientific facts to prove that the Dogon people have a relationship with the dog star that's in direct alignment with the great star in Giza in Egypt. I mean, with the great pyramid in Giza in Egypt. Now, that star and the pyramid and the Dogon people alignment of that star matches up. So we're dealing with extraterrestrial information, and I think that's for another show. The thing with Christianity is that it does not really cater to the conversations of extraterrestrial. That's the part of the brain that has been shut down from the African that's due to Christianity. Christianity and its tense, its Paulinian tense, because you're dealing with Eurocentric Christianity and not Afrocentric Christianity. There's a big difference. Okay?
Good, good, Jamel. Now, we have talked a little bit about sixth ether and ninth ether, and I told the listening audience that we'll go into depth to talk a little bit about what is the difference and which one of the ethers does the African-American hold within their link of their hair, and what does that mean to have a 9-4-6 ether?
Well, you have to look at the numbers first. 9 is the highest numeration you get, and 9 ether is a energy that created all existing gases. All existing gases created. 6 ether is death, because 9 ether is life. 6 ether is flank hair. 9 ether is curly hair. So when you look at the people on the planet, the African people, and you ask the question, who resembles nature? Go out to a hillside and look at the hillside, and if you look closely in the far distance, the trees mimic that of afros. Even in the Christian Bible, the woolly-haired Messiah, right? So 9 ether is in the hair follicles of all Africans. 6 ether is in the hair of the Europeans and all that have flank hair.
Thank you so very much, Jamel. Well explained. The subject, ladies and gentlemen, of our topic, the one central cosmic principle in Ifa faith tradition, the idea of God as the creator of the world and man, and the final authority in all things, is universal, accepted in all the homies, African societies. It is firmly entered into the religious belief of all of the spiritual systems of the Dogon and the homies. The African society each have names for their originating mysteries, which are unlike the names given to other spiritual beings that they recognize and the messengers and the ministries of Almighty God. The special names